The 12 Steps of Forgiveness, Step 3, Withdraw the Projection. In Step 1, I learned to be with my feelings. Yet I still have a tendency to think that you are the cause of how I feel. In Step 2, I learned that love is what I want. Yet I still have a tendency to look to you for love. My old pattern is to make you responsible for how I feel. My old pattern is to ask you to fix things for me or to try to fix them for you. My old pattern is to accuse you of not loving me enough, which is just another way of trying to make you responsible for my need for love. So my next psychological movement is to know that love is what I want, but I cannot depend on you to give it to me. Perhaps you will, perhaps you won't, but I can't do anything about your choice. If I try to influence you by putting you under pressure or making you feel guilty, I will just decrease the possibility that you can love me authentically. If I want your love, I must set you free. I must be willing to do without it. I must be willing to look for love within, not without. That sounds very nice, but it's a lot harder than it sounds. It means I have to go back inside that black hole in my heart and find the light that's hidden there. I must search through the dark caverns of all my woundedness to find the tiny light of self-affirmation that burns within. I thought this forgiveness thing would be a lot easier. I'd just realize that love is what I want and I'd ask for it, and it would just come to me on a white horse in the shape of a prince or a princess. Now I find out that that too was an illusion. Instead, I'm asked to be a coal miner, to put on protective garments and to descend into the belly of the earth to find this light I'm supposed to have. I'm not so sure I really believe that it's there, or if it is there, I'm not sure I can find it. I was willing so long as there was a guarantee, but now that the guarantee has gone out the window, I'm not so sure that I'm willing. I thought the descent was over. Please have a heart. Can't I just skip this step and move on to the next? Sound familiar? If I don't get what I want, then I'm not sure I'll buy this teaching. Job had the same problem in reverse. Every time he thought he'd finally got it together and pleased God, he got wiped out. Our tendency is to look for confirmation outside ourselves. And when it doesn't come, or when new trials have come instead, we either feel that we are failures or that we are foolish to have faith in a higher power to begin with. If I ask for love and you love me, I think that I am done with my spiritual work. I thank God that I am so blessed that I could complete in 2 steps what others must take 12 steps to complete. Maybe that's why the cosmic clock doesn't always agree with us about our personal timetables or desires. There's still more work to do, because one day, all that is outside of us won't be there to confirm our experience. We have to know truth inside our own hearts. We have to find love where it begins, not where it ends. So sometimes our desires and plans are thwarted. Indeed, even bashed to pieces. And every goal we had and everything we thought we were about is demolished before our eyes. And we sit there, as Job did, numb and speechless. Just what do you want from me, Lord? The old answer was, I want you to do 15 Hail Marys, kiss 100 elephant bums, and make a donation to the Lord's cause. We're wise to that one now. Too many elephant hairs in our faces, I guess. After Jim Jones, Ragnish, Jim Baker, Swami Rama and Werner Erhard, we've fortunately become a little sceptical about outside authority. Hey, nothing against these guys, they were here learning the same lessons as the rest of us. Sooner or later we find out that there's no one else out there who has the answer for us. But until we find that out, we have to keep getting knocked in the third eye, or the third leg, as the case may be. So even if you don't love me, I'm still here. I can't change that. Even suicide can't really change that, because wherever I am, I am. The form of my existence is not what's important. The content determines the form. And as long as I have a certain misperception about reality, I will attract a correction to that misperception. Being free has nothing to do with leaving the body. Being free means letting go of what isn't true. If that can't happen in the body, then it can't happen anywhere else, because the body is just a form that comes and goes. So here I am, and the only way I get my life jump-started is by accepting my life exactly as it is, by accepting myself and you exactly as we are. That is the place where my heart opens. That is the place where love begins. When I withdraw my projection from you, I understand that what I like or dislike about you is completely irrelevant to what I am here to learn. If I like you, I think you are here to be my partner and helpmate. If I dislike you, I feel that you are here to torment me. These beliefs are really the same, just different ends of the spectrum. One movement brings desire, the next brings fear. These two move like a seesaw throughout our lives, because desire is fueled by the belief in special relationships. All forms of desire are based on a perception of lack. I lack something in myself, therefore I need you to provide it. You see, it is fear-based. And if my desires are not satisfied, then I become angry or hurt. The cycle of fear continues. We like to elevate desire to the spiritual level. We talk about the desire for God. That is a non sequitur. Wherever desire is, attachment is, and there is no room for God. God comes to an empty seat, not a full one. The flame begins in our own hearts. The relationship with God begins in the depths of loneliness and yearning. The awareness of God's presence happens when we know that we are not going to find satisfaction outside ourselves. You see, I must come to understand that there is nothing that you can give to me that I do not already have, and there is nothing that you can take away from me that I really have to begin with. Everything you give to me is an illusion. Everything you take away from me is an illusion. What I have, you also have. What I do not have, you do not have either. That is the divine structure of creation. It is based on complete equality. Any deviation from that existential equality is a perversion we have introduced. We cannot come back into harmony with the divine plan until we look behind our own illusions. Only then will we see what's real. It is a difficult fact, but we have to face it, so we might as well begin now, that my only proper relationship with any human being is one of brother or sister. Call that human being Jesus or call him Hitler. One is not more my brother than the other. The part of me that condemns Hitler condemns myself and all my brothers and sisters for their mistakes. This is one gesture of the illusion, to create scapegoats, to deny responsibility for bringing our own darkness to the light. And the part of me that raises Jesus up on a pedestal is the part that would find myself and others inadequate. I believe that because Jesus walked through his fear, I don't have to walk through mine. Bullshit. Because he walked through his fear, he showed me that I am capable of walking through my own fear. Whenever we raise or lower someone else, we make that basic gesture of inequality that covers up the truth. Whenever we think that someone else has the answer for us, or we believe that someone else is preventing us from realizing our potential, we buy into the illusion. None of that is real. Always, there is just you and me. We are equals, but we do not often perceive ourselves that way. Every deviation from equality is a strange and sometimes intriguing dance. But it always brings us back face to face where we are now. I finally get step 3 when I recognize that it's all up to me. I am the channel for love in this world. Only then is my call for love answered. For as I open to love, I extend it. And as I extend it, it returns to me.